After all these years, Marion Wright Edelman still has the fire. She founded the Children's Defense Fund to advocate for children, poor and minority kids especially. Before that, she worked closely with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on his Poor People's Campaign. That's one reason that Barack Obama's election to the White House holds special meaning for her. Obama was also a community organizer and advocate for young people. Marion Wright Edelman also has a new book called The Sea Is So Wide and My Boat Is So Small. She came by to visit our studios, and I couldn't help asking her, if President-elect Obama came knocking, would she take a seat in his administration?
Of course not. I'm not somebody who could work within government. Everybody likes to go into government. Not everybody. There are many more people who want to be in the cabinet than want to start a movement from the outside. And I think that the gift that I have and the passion that I have is for bringing about a movement that is going to carry on the next phase of what we have to do to finish putting the political, the social and economic underpinnings beneath the political civil rights that Dr. King and so many others fought for. That's my life's work and mission. It is, when you're in government, it's from my point of view, I never could be confined. You have to speak for everybody. You got to be balanced. Children lack a voice. Children need a strong, independent voice that is just about them. And they are the weakest among all the voices. And so I just know that my life's work is to push and push and mobilize and organize as many people to get what children need. And leaders are made by movements. And while I am so proud of even the thought that Barack Obama will become president of the United States, he's going to be as good a president as we on the outside, as citizens, as mothers and grandmothers, as parents, push him to be. I mean, there's a famous recounting of a meeting between A. Philip Randolph and FDR when he went in to talk about the need for employment among black citizens and laid out what he thought the agenda was in fighting discrimination. And Franklin Roosevelt told A. Philip Randolph, I agree with everything you're saying, Philip. Now you go out and make me do it. There are no friends in politics. And in the absence of a strong movement, when he's going to be battered by everybody who wants to stop the war or do global warming or do a new energy policy or do all the special interests, increase the tax cuts for everybody, not just those at the bottom, he's going to have his hands full. And so whoever raises the strongest voice is what's going to be heard. But unless we're out there with clear proposals, a clear constituency, and persistence and a loud voice, children are not going to be able to get what they need, and he's not going to be able to do all the things that he wants. So I think my role is an outside role.
We actually got the chance to talk in a different context, which was the enormous women's conference that Maria Shriver, First Lady of California, threw. And you were in conversation with Gloria Steinem. And I was struck by the reverential way that the women in the audience, mostly women, some men, how they looked at you guys. Is it a burden?
Oh, I don't take it all too seriously. I'm always moved if people think that I have done good work, but I'd rather them not kind of see me as an icon. I'd rather them hear the message and help. And I often get so many people saying, oh, what good, wonderful work you do. Keep it up. And I want to say, help me. We've got to build a movement. And so I don't take it too seriously. I'm grateful. But then the issue is, how do you engage them?
Well, you have this new book, The Sea Is So Wide and My Boat Is So Small. You reference faith a lot. You have some very specific ideas about that, about how churches and people of faith might serve kids better. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the mandate of the prophets and of the Gospels and of all great faith demand that we do justice and that we speak against oppression or harm to the poor, to the vulnerable, to the orphan, to the widow, to the stranger, to the prisoner. And yet it's so stunning to me that the faith community has lost its prophetic voice and have forgotten the dictates of all of our great faiths and have become, too many of us, puppets of the culture rather than challengers of the culture of violence and of militarism. What would happen if you know a third of these churches of God who say they worship a poor baby, I believe God entered history as a poor baby, would just see that they found one adoptive family? We could clean out the child welfare system. How about if 10% of those churches decided they were going to open up and start freedom schools, which is a model we've created for after school and for the summer, to give children safe havens from the streets? The gangs and the drug dealers are open 24/7. Our church doors are too often closed. What if, when we go to prayer meetings on Wednesday night or Tuesday night or Bible study, we decided that we were going to do something about 9 million children who lack health insurance and prenatal care for their mothers and are born at low birth weight. And what if we began to live our faith? I mean, churches and faith congregations, we've seen scandals. They hide domestic violence. They hide child abuse. And the church needs to get away from this prosperity gospel and really begin to reclaim what its faith requires. And so I think one of the great losses and one of the reasons why we've seen a breakdown of family and community and moral values in our society has been the silence and the failure of the church community, of the faith community, to speak up for those who have least.
You've got these four grandchildren. And do they understand what you do for children? And what do they think about it?
Well, my oldest granddaughter is 7. My second granddaughter is 5. And I have 3-year-old twin boys. And one of the proudest moments of my life, and I read them books. They read them books about heroines and heroes of the civil rights movement. They've read about Barack Obama. They know about Frederick Douglass. They know about Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, whom I wear around my neck. But one of the proudest moments of my life was taking Ellica was 5 when Ms. Rosa Parks died. And I took her when she came to the Capitol to stand and wait for Mrs. Parks, and waiting at the Capitol Rotunda as the bus came up, which sent chills through me. And then when Mrs. Parks arrived and watched the integrated honor guard get out and carry Mrs. Parks up the steps, it was just an extraordinary thing to be able to say to my grandchild, you just never forget, as the President of the United States was waiting there and all the congressional leaders, what one black woman can do and what one person can do. But we've got to teach our children their history, white and black and Latino children, and let them know they can make it no matter what.
Speaking of heroines, you have 2 women, as you mentioned, around your neck, Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, on these matching ovals, these kind of cameos almost, photographs, one on each side. Why are you wearing them?
Oh, because they give me strength. These are my ancestors, and I used to wear them underneath my clothes. I got these at the New York Historical Society. They had an anti-slavery exhibition. But now I brought them out in this election year because I just thought they should fully participate in everything that's going on, and I think about them all the time. And Harriet Tubman's words and Sojourner Truth's words guide me every day. Because they were strong women who didn't take any guff about mistreatment of women, and they fought for slavery, against slavery, way before Mr. Lincoln and his Emancipation Proclamation came down. And they never forgot their whole community. I mean, when Harriet Tubman went from Maryland to Pennsylvania, she, was glad to be free, but then she realized that she had an obligation to go back and bring some folk up so that she would not be lonely, and she went back numerous times, brought 300 folk up. And we've got in the middle class, and those of us who have been able to walk through the doors of opportunity, we've got to remember Harriet Tubman and not think it's about us, and really try to lift as we climb. And Sojourner just didn't play around. She talked very eloquently and bluntly, and one of my favorite Sojourner statements one day occurred when she was speaking out against slavery, and she got heckled by an old white man who said, oh, slave woman, I don't care anymore about your anti-slavery talk for an old flea bite. And she snapped back at him and said, that's all right, the Lord willing, I'm going to keep you scratching. And so many people try to be big dogs, and we need to bring about big changes. But I've seen the Flea Corps for Children and Flea Corps for Justice for Children grow. And enough fleas biting strategically can make the biggest dog uncomfortable. And if black women in all these sororities and all these places that we have so many resources and so much power and all these prayer meetings and all these churches decided they were going to become fleas for Children for Justice, we could change the world and change the country. So I want everybody to know about Sojourner and Harriet and to become a part of that legacy of women just doing what has to be done to save our children.
That was children's advocate Marion Wright Edelman. Her latest book is called The Sea is So Wide and My Boat is So Small. She joined us here in our studios at NPR West. That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, 30 years ago, more than 900 people died after drinking poison in Jonestown, Guyana. Their pastor, Jim Jones, led the mass suicide and murders as well. We talked to witnesses about the legacy of the tragedy.